This is Laser Knees, episode 28, Trust No One, Not Even Yourself, a production of the Toll Network, home of biting analysis. I'm Aleph, the thesis-seeking critic, Duat Red.
And I'm Sona, the duplicate critic, Duat Green.
Putting heroes on trial. Critical Squadron, Duat Red.
Join us as we continue on our wild ride through Dobit Sentai Zyuger. Can Yamato lead his human friends, and Misao, through an adventure to save the human world from the Death Galleon? Find out how we think he's doing as we share our thoughts on Dobit Sentai Zyuger. Episode 34, The Giant Beast Hunter Strikes Back. Our episode writer was Komura Junko, our episode director was Kato Hiroyuki, same people we've dealt with most of the show.
Well, that's certainly a very revealing way of putting it. Yeah, we've been dealing with them the whole time. We're very excited.
It's hard.
Sorry,
after two whole episodes of Shimoyama.
Yeah, I miss Shimoyama.
And they're very nice, patient Leo.
Yeah, like, you know, I hate to, like, it's so weird being in a place where it's like, I'm not sure I ever want Shimoyama to be promoted. Shimoyama can just be a really good episode writer. Put them in with Kobayashi doing plotting, or Shoaikawa doing plotting, because that dude is not a fast writer.
No.
I love him. He is not. Tokusatsu is, these productions are at a pace that just seems to kind of outmatch him.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, look, let's be real, though. Okay, small personal aside, I had a friend over this week. They were here for four nights. Every one of those nights, I was running D&D, and I'm just like, that was four nights. I have been just dead. My brain just gone ever since. Like, I've just been repairing this whole time. It's like, okay, so imagine that, but you have to write it all down, and you have to send it to an editor and a producer, and then you have to have a guy direct it. And I'm like, you know what? When I say that Shoaikawa cannot handle the pace, that is no sin. That is not me, like, taking anything away from Shoaikawa.
It's hard.
I just need everyone to understand.
It's hard.
Yeah. I do want everyone to understand. I both respect Shoaikawa, the person, and the fact that writing Kamen Rider and Super Sentai, it looks like a certain kind of hell.
I don't know why anyone does it.
Yeah, it can't be for the money. Because, again, like, unless Toei is really good to their writers, which I doubt very likely.
Because Toei won't spend money on anything else.
Yep. I mean, look, I would actually be very impressed to find out, like, oh no, the one place they splurge is making sure their stable of writers is really well paid. If I found out that was the case, I would forgive quite a bit. I have no reason to believe that is the case. None. So anyway, before we get going off on that tangent again, because apparently I am just in a contentious mood tonight, Sona, why don't you open us up with your animal instincts about this episode and its message?
Well, since this is the first half of a two-parter and we have yet to get to the payoff, which from what I can tell, the payoff is a very lazy new robot.
I really hate that
robot. So do I. But the most I can get out of this right now is having to sometimes deal with tough choices. I mean, Zuo Whale has the power that they need to beat Bunglei, but it comes with the risk of Bunglei capturing or at least harming Cube Whale in the process. So even if the fight is harder, Yamato makes the decision to not endanger Cube Whale. It's maybe a bit of a stretch, but I mean, it's something, and that's dealing with tough choices is a pretty good message, I guess.
I mean, like, look, I will say I see where you're coming from with that, but honestly, like, for outside of that nice thematic thrust of in the action this week, where it was all about duplicates and whether or not people get duped by those duplicates, like, it was, like, for as much stuff was going on, like, it honestly felt like kind of a thin episode. I don't enjoy being Mr. Hates Things all the time, despite the fact that I am, let's be real, but for all, like, again, I really love the action, and I think that this was a very plotty episode, and, you know, a lot of moving parts, and I do respect that. Like, any messaging here reads to me more as, like, watch next week so you can get your catharsis by watching the new robot win. Which, I mean, look, there's something to be said for that. That's a fair thing to put in your adventure story. But, I don't know, I guess for me, it's my problem is, like, we see all the hard choices get made, but not all of them pay off as much as you'd like. And of course, then it's the thing where it's really tough to stretch a message across episodes. And then, like, you know, you and I, we do this week to week, like, that also kind of makes catching all those messages a little more iffy.
Yeah. Like, it definitely seems like most of the, like, message and theme in this episode is going to be hammered in next week.
Yeah, which, like, look, if it works, I will happily, I'm not going to cling to, like, oh no, I said it sucks last week, I'm afraid to be wrong. Like, no, I want it to be good.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
I only want everything anything to ever be good.
Yeah, because if we're going to give it this much time, yeah, I'd really like to have fun.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, I'm not trying to keep planting my flag, so I'm not going to say any names, but there have been, like, some tokusatsu series I watched every week while they were running. I was not enjoying myself. I did it so I could, you know, do this show, be a part of it, and see if I could learn anything. And mostly I just learned that watching something you hate and hoping to get something out of it just really drains you.
Yeah. It only ever ends in misery.
It only ever does. Okay, speaking of, lest we get off on a tangent, and this is actually close to where we're supposed to be, what got your hackles up with this episode?
Okay, this was an abrupt start to the episode. It feels like maybe it's missing, like, a minute or two. Like, even just, like, a couple seconds of Bungalow just kind of, like, chuckling to himself and then throwing the giant monsters out. We don't have to see Kubar, because that's, like, the mystery of the episode. Just Bungalow himself throwing the monsters out, and then everyone kind of running up to it. Like, that would have been a little better, I think?
Yeah, I actually have to agree, especially since one of my big things this episode was, like, when they did all the Tarzan yell, you know, name all the cubes, and then they turn into the thing, and then they turn into the bigger thing, and etc.
Yeah.
And like, if it was done well and cut a little better, I think it could have been one of those, like, oh, right, Sentai is really weird moments, which, like, I think are always very valuable, like, when you step back. Like, it's when you start explaining the show to a friend, and you're like, okay, and then they get in the giant robot, and the robot's a pirate, and it puts on its jaunty pirate hat, and you stop yourself in the middle, and you're like, wow, this thing I said just makes no sense at all. That is bananas. And like, yeah. So if they would have just cut that up a little faster, and then just to make room for Bungalow just coming in and being like, wahaha, I am a supervillain, I love my work, I would have been much happier.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that it was Bungalow doing it from the start, but it's just them running in, like, already prepared to fight, and the monsters are already there, and we just jump, like, right into it. Something about the way it starts feels like we're missing some, or a little more should have been cut off the front to the point where we, like, start in the robots.
Yeah, if they would have started in the robots, I think that also would have been good.
Just one of the two. It was just not quite the right spot. And as much as the three separate Phantom Zuoja fights, they were separate. But when Kubar shows up to reveal that, like, Bungalow was taking everything from his head, everyone reacts to it as if they're all right there.
Yeah, like, they're all having the conversation with each other.
Yeah, like,
that was weird.
Misao's like, oh, so this Yamato is made from Kubar's memories. And Tusk is like, oh, that must be where the giant ones from the beginning were from, too. But Yamato's the only one who's actually at the spot Bungalow and Kubar are at.
Yeah, and I don't think that we've established they have, like, in-helmet communication devices.
We have definitely not established that. Like, they're definitely not in the same place.
And,
like, when Phantom Gorilla beats up Yamato and Bungalow, like, captures him, everyone runs in from the spots that they were in. They were not within, like, earshot of each other.
Yeah, and I here's the thing, I don't even like normally being a person who's like, yeah, the spatial relationship of these scenes confuses me and that upsets me, but the spatial relationship between these scenes confuses me and it does upset me.
It's weird because, I mean, it's usually not that bad.
Yeah, like a little fudging I'm fine with, you know?
Yeah, look, I'm fine with them if it's people who were in previously, like, within eyesight of each other, but were, like, far apart and suddenly they're not, like, that's fine, whatever, it's Sentai magic. But the entire point was that they weren't in the same place, because they had to think that the copies were the real ones, because they couldn't see the real ones.
Yeah, yeah. And like, look, I understand that's a lot of that is probably like, well, we had to film all these scenes separately because we only have this many suit actors. And at that point, I'm like, look, that was on the editor. The editor should have stopped you from doing this episode then.
Or should have just edited it differently so it seemed like everyone was in the same spot.
Yeah, you know, find a way to make this all work. And it just...
The problem is that they're still not in the same spot when that conversation ends. They're all still in separate places. If somehow they had all come together and were in that same spot at the end of that conversation and weren't all running in after another fight, I'd be like, fine. They all got there somehow, I don't care. But, like, they were all very obviously in separate places and stayed in separate places, but were all part of this conversation.
Yeah, it was really freaking weird, man. And, okay, And then for mine, like, again, okay, actually, I'm just going to skip over that because I already said it. So, mostly it's just Leo showing back up somehow in, like, the two lines he had. I was just like, wow, it's a big difference between when Kimura writes Leo and when Shimayama writes Leo. I don't know how, like, this small a thing can make that big a difference. It does.
It really does.
Like, the first thing that came out of Leo's mouth, I don't even remember what it was, and I'm just like, dude, shut up. Just go play in traffic. I don't like you.
He said something rude to Cube Whale.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Cube Whale ran out.
I don't like to tell people to go play in traffic. That's actually not a very cool thing to say. I know. I'm sorry. That was a gut thing there. But
Cube Whale came out and was angry that they fought without him, and Leo was like, dude, don't you know why we fought without you? And it's like, yeah, of course he knows. He knows what's going on. He's not stupid.
He's also brave. Just
but he loves you and he wants to help.
Thing like, yeah. Besides, like, why doesn't Leo respect that? Leo should respect that. That's respectable. Like, oh, hey, dude, look, I know you wanted to fight with us, and we would have loved to have you there, but... And, like, I feel like Shimayama's Leo would have done that.
Yeah, or Shimayama's Leo would have at least just been like, hey, man, calm down.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because, again, I don't know what it is, but it really just does feel like Shimayama's Leo is a dude caught in the grips of toxic masculinity, whereas Kimura is just like, no, he's a dude who is toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, and the other thing, before we go off on that rant again, because that was a good rant, I really enjoyed that discussion we had on that episode. That was a long one. We shouldn't do that here. I just want to know, was it 100% necessary to show Yamato, like, beating up all the rest of them? Like, we've talked about, like, this one being having that red centricism that a lot of them do. And, again, like, I understand it's that thing where it's unstated, but we all understand that the clone, because it's not actually the person it's pretending to be, or because their motives are not pure or not their own or not driven by their own passions, they aren't allowed to win, or because they're coming from Q-Bar's memory and Q-Bar only remembers them losing. But it's just one of those things where it's like, I appreciate that he got his face punched in the next bit, but all I could think was, yeah, you guys just had to show him just beating everyone, didn't you? I just was not impressed.
Yeah, Zyoger really, for all that it doesn't feel like it should be, because Yamato doesn't feel like that red, like, it's
no,
very red-centric.
I mean, he's, you know, again, he's got one who's got, like, he's got three mechs, three cost, you know, two form changes. Everyone else, like, they haven't flipped up their masks yet. At this point, it doesn't look likely that they're going to.
I'm so disappointed.
I am too.
It's like, how, why does he have two form changes? He gets two power-ups. Like, at least if you want to give him a specific power-up, then do a team power-up too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's all, like, if he's gonna be the only one who gets it, fine, I guess. But at least give everyone else, you know, they all have an upgrade.
Yeah, like, do like, Maji Ranger or Deca Ranger, where they have swap mode or whatever it was in Maji Ranger. I forget what it was called.
I do too,
but
yeah,
where, like, they the each... power. It wasn't even something they passed around. It's just they all were able to do it. And then Yamato can have his own, like, special red guy upgrade.
Yeah, or again, like, if they would do, like, Shinkenger or Bokenger. And just, you know, everyone tosses Cube Whale around.
Yeah!
Because, like, look, I would like to see that suit in blue. I think Sela would look smashing in that.
Sela would rock.
Yeah, I mean, come on, the blue with the coat, like, she's already got, like, that's already her aesthetic in her regular costume. I'm just saying.
Yeah, she would destroy that.
So I guess, though, I'm just like, you know, I don't think whales and sharks get on, but it's a blue whale, so, like, it's not even a thing.
Like, whatever.
Well, the picture's a blue whale. It's more of a... Anyway, we're getting way off track. So, now that we've got our negativity out of the way, what were the tide turners for you this week?
Okay, even if that beginning was abrupt, I always enjoy when we start with the episode getting the robot fights out of the way to make room for some nice juicy plot.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say, like, I didn't want to take it out earlier because I totally understand where you're coming from. It was really abrupt, but yeah, it's nice just being like, here's the robot, so now you know this episode is gonna be cool.
Yeah, like, I am always on board for that, but...
Yeah, just let us know that this is gonna be a cool episode that you will not be able to stop for. Go.
I feel bad for Oswald. Dude just wants to break stuff. Like, he's the only Death Galleon that actively wants to engage the show. And they just keep being like, no, man, just sit over there. He's like, but I want to go do the thing that I'm here to do.
I just really want, like, him and Narya to just keep having drinks, you know? It's like... They're both just like, Narya, I came here, I signed up to do a thing, and he won't let me do the thing. No, I totally understand, you know, but Master Janice is really busy. Yeah, but I signed up for this. Like, doesn't he have a responsibility? I'll talk to him.
I can't make any promises.
And then they just talk about things that are not him, because anything that's not him, just like, you know, how's your space family? I don't know. It'll be like that bit in Akiba Ranger, where Oswald, like, suddenly brings out, like, yes, and after I kill you, no, I'm going to go back and propose to my wife, no, and see my children from my first marriage. Ah, no, you're dead. Ah, we like you.
And I feel like Narya is maybe getting a little fed up with Janice or something. She had something going on in this episode.
Yeah, something did seem like it was going on. I'm here for it. Mostly because I got to imagine she's really like, dude, you've really lost the plot. Like, you're here to murder everything, not be like, oh, that's interesting and amusing. I'm all disaffected and I'm going to stop all my cool plans to do some other nonsense. Bungley's back on the stage. I'm just going to watch. No, dude.
No, man, let's go wreck some stuff.
Yeah, like, he can wreck stuff too. That's fine.
It's like, we can all wreck things.
Yeah, here's the thing about things. You can only wreck so many things in a finite area because you're mortal. We can just go somewhere else. It's fine. We just go down the coast a little. There's a bunch of stuff still needs wrecking.
Like, look, there are several other continents.
Yeah. Like, well, I was just even saying, like, you know, just in, if they stay in Japan, you know. But yeah. Let's have the episode where they have the people with the terror. Bring back the pretend Americans. Have Guinness follow them home after Q-Bar, you know, came up with actually the kind of vicious plan to incite thermonuclear war.
Yeah, like, look, you're aware of other countries now. Go mess with them.
Yeah, like, look, they tell you don't mess with this planet. You should mess with the planet. There's a whole lot of
it. Yeah.
That doesn't have a Super Sentai.
I mean, look, if stay away from New Zealand, because they've got their own stuff.
That's true.
Like, they have the Power Rangers, so you don't want to get caught up in that just yet. We've got probably...
Don't go to California,
you know,
either, because...
Yeah.
Because all of those people in New Zealand are somehow also in California. Is it Angel Grove in California?
I think it's in Southern Cali.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah, so, you know...
You know, just stay away from there, but, like...
Just stick to you'll be fine.
Man, just go mess with, like, Europe and the East Coast. We've got nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. What are they gonna do? Well, don't go to the East Coast, because, like, now we're getting into... Now I'm just gonna get into silly crossover stuff, because that's where all of Marvel happens.
Oh, that's true.
Just go to the Midwest.
You could go to the southern half of the East Coast.
Because
Marvel's in New York City. So if you stay away from, like, the Northeast, they've... Like, yeah, they can't go below, like, Delaware, I think. I don't think they know how to get, like, past Delaware.
Go down to Florida, the worst that's going to happen is some people on some very interesting substances are going to try and punch you and or make out with you. And, like, look, you were going to kill them anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, like, it's fine. Look, no, like, if they went to Florida, they'd be doing us a favor.
I didn't want to say it.
I mean, like...
I'm glad you did.
There are a couple people I would want to get out of Florida first.
I no longer know anyone in Florida, so... I'm like, whatever.
I have some family down there, but a couple...
Tell a lie. Save the metalheads.
A couple of our Twitter friends of the show. I know at least one is in Florida.
Oh, okay.
So, you know...
I'm sorry, I didn't
get a couple people out of Florida. I'm not going to name names because that's, you know, no one's business, but...
That's rude, yeah, no.
I know there's at least one, but, you know, get the couple people out of Florida that we need to get out of Florida, and then they can just have it. They can do whatever they want down there.
Yeah, you can be their murder kingdom. Like, it won't be any worse than it is now. Like, there's already crocodiles on the street. Like,
yeah.
You can only improve it, guys. Come on. That's probably getting a little dark and perhaps a shade more political than we like to get. That's saying some stuff.
But
did you have any other
on
stuff?
On that, Cube Whale actually has a personality.
Yeah!
Which is real neat.
I gotta give that one to Junko.
I mean, I don't know if it'll stick, but, like, he wants to be part of the action and help. And, like, sassy grandpa here won't take no for an answer. Like, again, I hope, you know, Cube Whale keeps their personality, and, you know, once the Bungle plot is over, it's not just totally forgotten. It was also real cute putting him on a leash, but, like, on that note, I'm not totally sure how I feel about it, because I like that at least Sela brought up that leashing him, it's like, isn't that, you know, a little cruel? Like, aren't we being kind of not cool to him? And, you know, Yamato affirms that, you know, if even if Cube Whale decides to hate them for it, they're doing what they gotta do to protect him. And, you know, sometimes you gotta, like, tackle an animal to the ground to bring it to safety. But it rung a little weird, because it really denotes a separation between human and animal, where it feels like, okay, would you do this to the rest of the team, if necessary? And then I remembered that Yamato actually did that in episode 2, so, you know, maybe Yamato just doesn't care, because, again, he does regard humans as animals.
Yeah, but I've never seen him try and tie up a human. I'm just, like, you really would think that this would be a good chance to show some of the perspective he's got in, like, the intervening, like, 30-some episodes. Like, hey, we're all connected, therefore that this guy, who is apparently competent to decide whether or not he's gonna hang with us and turn into a giant robot that I will pilot to murder monsters I don't approve of. Like, I'm just saying, like, if he's competent to choose that, he's competent to choose whether or not he's gonna go out and fight the guy who wants to capture him? Question mark? Kill him? I don't know.
I mean, that's definitely fair, and I definitely agree with you on that.
But yeah, like, I, you know, it is the thing where I share your reservation, even as watching the show, I get where Yamato's coming from.
Yeah, like, I totally get it, but again, like, Cube Whale actually has a personality.
Yeah.
And, like
Cube
feelings.
Whale can love. Yeah. Like, Cube Whale is like, hey, you're stepping into the costume of this dude who was, like, my dad. That creeps me out, and I really don't want anything to do with you scary people. Bye. Like, I love that. And then, like, now he's sassy grandpa or grandma, because I don't actually know. It, like, the very complicated thing of every, you know, of how we're often trained to assume everyone's a man. Sorry. That's patriarchy showing. My bad.
If you make your things sentient, just go full Goanger. Give them voices.
Yeah.
Like, make that clear.
Yeah, I would not mind. I would not mind. Because, like, yeah, well, now we've got all this stuff about, what is it? Now we've got all this stuff about, like, are they human? Where's the line? I think the reason why they don't give them voices is because then they'd be talking animals in a way that is different from the talking animals who are the main cast. And if you use the talking cube animals as things, yeah, but then you could just give them personalities and that'd be fine.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
mind.
Like,
I'm stopping. It's
I mean, I really don't know how Goanger is the only one that's ever been able to pull this off.
I don't either. It's weird.
Because, I mean, like, it is, they're either the gimmick toys or, like, little animated holograms. Or sometimes they just have the engine soul on a string. You know, whatever works. But they never leave them out. There's pretty much always, if a conversation is happening, pretty much one of them is always involved in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we can't just do that again.
I don't either.
Because it's not even like it was a 3-person team. It was a 5-person team. And eventually a 7-person team.
Wow, yeah.
It was a 7-person team with, like, 12, well, the dinosaurs didn't talk. So, like, 9. Like, 9, it was a 7-person team with, like, 9 talking car animals. And it was never an issue.
That's pretty impressive. That's
I don't know how they did it.
Like, grace and style, I guess.
Like, they didn't have kind of auxiliary people like Mario.
That probably helped.
I guess they used the engines kind of as the auxiliary characters.
Which makes sense, because, hey, they're over there. They're the people who can fill all these roles, because they have personalities. And weird eyes, those painted on eyes, they're so just staring.
But it's just, I like that Cube Whale has, like, he's real. He feels like a person.
Yep. In a way, honestly, I don't feel like many of the other cubes
any,
got to.
Any of the other cubes got to, really.
Yeah, which is a shame.
I know. But, again, this is my one complaint about things that have, you know, sentient gimmick toys. Ghost did pretty okay with it. Ghost did a good job, I think.
Yeah, I think, or at least because they made them characters.
Yeah. Or at least Ghost could have done a slightly better job with it, because, I mean, there were parts where, you know, none of that was happening early on, and then in, like, the first story arc, they weren't sentient at all.
Yeah, they just, I have, yeah.
But,
just,
I mean, like,
they picked it up, they dropped it, they picked it up, they dropped it. It was frustrating.
But, I mean, Ghost did a better job of it than any of the other things that have tried to.
Yeah, well, I mean, because they made it a thing. They talked about it a lot.
Like, I'm still not over the shift cars, because I was real hype for the shift cars.
Well, yeah, you were really hype. You were into it. You were there for it. You were excited that they were gonna have. There was a shift car who had, like, a walking away in the rain after saving their partner. It was like, ooh, wow, you guys, you're going really hard on this with these little cars.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Like, man, I'm still I cosplayed Dream Vegas. That's how into it I was. was.
Yeah, it's a good costume, too, I have to say.
And then they immediately after the Vegas and Cab story, just dropped the ball. And then, you know, I got lucky and my other favorite, Deco Traveler, had its, like, little arc with Ota, even though that arc ended terribly with Shinosuke, like, just letting a murderer off for funsies.
Yeah, that was weird.
But, I mean, like, okay, I was like, ah, sweet, like, this car relates to him, they've both kind of got this kind of, like, old, folky aesthetic, they're both real into it, and then again, they immediately dropped the ball again. I'm like, ah, oh, my life is disappointment.
Yeah, it was, like, they were unkind to you, dude. It was not okay.
But it's okay, they gave me Ghost afterwards. They made it better. They apologized.
The Tokusatsu gods are generous.
They apologized.
Yeah, they did.
I thought that the animal helmets were a fun idea. They were a great way to break up an otherwise really intense episode for something kind of brief and silly. And it was cute that they even put them on the logo. And I mean, honestly, it was a decent plan to, you know, block out Bungley, even though, you know, he could have put his hand, like, on their face or the back of their head. Didn't really.
Yeah, but, you know,
but, you know, look, it's something. It's a decent plan, if not properly
also
executed.
You know, yeah, and it also gives a nice excuse for later in the episode so that, you know, all the kids at home will be able to say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
The real Misao is wearing a rhino helmet. That's an imposter! Like, from the off.
Yeah, though I'm not sure why Sela and Amu had a seal and a zebra. Why not their own animals, like all of the guys? Is there a joke that I'm missing?
Yeah, I have no clue, but it really did feel off. I thought, like, Sela being a seal was maybe, like, in a stretch, a cross-linguistic pun, because, you know, Sela, seal, it's all the same letters,
yeah.
I guess. But like, you're telling me Mario doesn't make masks of tigers? Like, look, I could believe he didn't have a shark ready. That is a dude who makes white tiger masks. You look at all these masks. He, you know, it'd be like, I don't know, it'd be like saying that he has never owned a Three Wolf Moon shirt. I'm sorry, look at that dude.
Which is, you know, that's...
I know my people.
That's all of his shirts. I don't really believe he owns, like, shirts that aren't that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, you just never see them because he's always wearing stuff over, but, like, yeah, that dude's got, like, just Three Wolves Howling at the Moon shirts. That's what he's got.
So it felt real weird that they were not their normal animals, but everyone else,
like,
was.
Yeah, it was, again, like, even if it was only Sela, and, like, they could just make a joke, like, oh yeah, Mario doesn't like sharks. Like, just make it a joke, but make it actually a joke.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, like, everyone else got the thing, but the girls, because it's like, what, do they not know what a tiger and a shark look like? Because
I feel like there's some kind of pun, like, in the name somewhere or something that I just don't know. And if anyone knows the joke, please come tell me.
Yeah, I would really like, yes.
Like,
I would also
please
really like to
come clarify that for me, because I don't understand what the joke is there. If there is a joke, and if there's no joke, then I'm completely lost.
Yeah.
I thought the little pep talk for Misao was really sweet. Like, even Leo wasn't a jerk in it. He was just like, like, we're talking about you. I'm like, okay, that's the nicest thing that's ever come out of your mouth when Komura's written you. And, like, Amu trying to encourage him didn't feel, like, gross and manipulative the way it normally does. She was just like, man, we need you to do this.
You're the one who can. It was just like, ooh, wow, this is some genuine encouragement. Like, is this gonna be revealed to be, like, you know, his pain, like, what he wished they said? Like, I hope not. I hope this is actually what they all said, because...
Yeah, no, it just, it seems like they were all just genuinely being nice and encouraging.
Yeah, it's nice.
And speaking of decent plans, like, Bungle and Q-Bar's plan was great.
Yeah, it really, yeah. Okay, I was afraid it wasn't just, like, it was just me, because y'all didn't even know how much I love a good plot that involves evil twins, but yeah.
But, like, if they all left wearing the animal masks, I'm a little surprised no one noticed the lack of them when the doppelganger showed up. I mean, it's still made for a really nice group of fights, and as always, the fight direction in this show is top-notch. Like, Yamato versus himself was especially good. It feels a little weird that, like, even Yamato would be like, wait, guys, it was definitely my idea to put these on.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah. You guys, I think, why are we breaking from the plan? Do you guys have a separate plan? You should have let me in on the plan.
But, I mean, like, overall, that was a good plan for Bungle and Q-Bar.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I mean, like, look, it's no start a thermonuclear war, but it's pretty good. And like, on top of everything else, I like that they had the evil roll call, even.
Yes.
Because something about that, like, flat inflection and like, mixing in Q-Bar's voice with some of them, like, it made it menacing. And I was like, wow, that's the first time I've seen a Sentai roll call, and I'm like, oh, is this what it's like for the bad guys? Because this is actually kind of creepy. This is intense. I was into
this
it.
This is, in fact, threatening.
Yeah, it was really good. And okay, just a thing that really jumped out at me. I really dug the fight with Natmi Sao, just reminding the audience that, oh yeah, he was hard as nails at the start. And I keep hoping that this is a thing we're going to come back to over time, but it really drives home, like, yeah, he is like a Kamen Rider in that he's a monster who has failed at being a monster, and just getting these flashbacks to evil Misao, like, I was just like, wow, that's right. We spent all this time laughing at him. By the way, when he's not, you know, crippled by his many anxiety issues, he is frightening.
Yeah, like, there's a reason they sent him off to, like, fight Bungle by himself.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, I have to say, that was, like, again, I had been playing a lot of D&D. That was some D&D logic. Like, look, dude, all your attack is, like, 8 die 8 plus 4. We all do just, you know, we're all 2 die 6. Go for it, dude. It's like, I don't know, I'm sorry to get all super nerdy on you guys, even for a...
No, man, look, I've been planning to roll up a second character, and I'm not even playing my first one.
See, yeah, this is... Yeah. Anyway, so...
The entire wedding weekend was, like, one of the groomsmen just talking D&D to anyone who would listen.
Nice. Well, this is probably gonna be my last one. Yeah, I'm gonna try not to bring it up all the time. It's been on my mind. Anyway, so, all my complaints about Yamato beating up the whole crew aside, like, I do have to say that having it, like, lead up to a mirror match, kind of, where he has to fight himself, and then, like, he beat up himself, like, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Like you were saying about the fights were really good to watch. Like, that was a really good fight
to watch.
I was like, when he uses the whip sword as the Tarzan vine and just slams him into the mountain, I'm like,
yes.
Wow. Like, that was really, yeah. And okay. The last thing that I kind of got caught up on was we did that close-up on Narya, and for the first time, and I don't know if it's always been this way, and I'm like, the bottom half of her face looks like Dayu's from Shinkenger. Like, something about the half-open mouth with just sort of the teeth showing through just a little, it looked so much like her the lower half of that mask's face.
I mean, I know Toei likes to recycle suits. They may have cannibalized part of her suit. I know a lot of, like, villain group monster ladies have kind of a similar mouth area, especially in Sentai.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it for a while, because, like, the only other one I could think of was, how do I always forget her name? The one in Gokaiger. But she, you know, mouth closed, she had the smile.
Yeah,
so.
And I think a lot of them I feel like a lot of them have the mouth closed, because I know there was another one that I'd thought of that was, like that.
Yeah, and it's just like this one, it's got sort of the mouth half open. Well, not even half open, just like the lips are parted, and you see the teeth behind.
Yeah.
It's like, it's always so weird to me, because, like, the teeth, I mean, like, it gives them a bit more character, or a certain kind of character, and I would not be surprised if that's, like, callback to like, some no masks that just, like, look, I know of no, I am by no means a person who knows a lot about it, other than, like, the basic theories.
Yeah, but I mean, for all I know, they may have cannibalized part of, like, a Dayu suit.
Well, you know, I mean, again, like, man. Sorry, I'm just gonna have to move us along, because I'm gonna start going on about Shinkenger, because you know what Aleph likes? Aleph likes Shinkenger.
Shinkenger's some good stuff.
Yeah, anyway, I'm gonna start cursing how I like it so much. So, to avoid that, let's move on to our evolutions, and try and think about what's coming next for this show that we are watching and enjoying.
I mean, well, look, the next episode is clearly not gonna be their final day, because we've got, like, 15 episodes left. But if this setup is any introduction, it's probably gonna be pretty intense.
Well, I would say, though, like, it would be a really ballsy move, and it's just like, oh yeah, then the last 15 episodes, it's just Larry and Burb, just fighting monsters. I'd be okay with that.
Bring Amu's mom, Sella's mustache dad.
Yeah. Look, I'm just saying, like, this sounds like, I like Yamato, I like the whole crew.
Get Mario. Have Mario leading them.
Leo.
Have Mario lead them.
Yeah, like, I'm down with this. Anyway, and for me, like, I'm also really excited for like, because, yeah, it does look like a really intense one. I'm like, guys, it's about time you brought back the heart. This show is great when you bring the ruckus, and why do you take so long between it? Because, I mean, there's pacing, giving it breathing room, and then there's just messing around. But I think more than anything, though, what stuck out to me is, like, just, woof, that robot is, like, wow. It looks like it looks like the inexpensive knockoff of itself. Like, the one you'd go to, like, a flea market, and you'd pick up for, like, $3, and it's made of plastic that either feels like it's just about ready to snap in half or disintegrate if you, like, look at it wrong. And the package, like, it's all done in the same font, but it, instead of, like, Jobutsu Sentai Juojer, and then whatever its name is, like, Dodeka Dio, or that, no, that's the actual. Anyway, yeah, whatever its actual name is, it just says Animal Hero Changer Bot. And you're like, I mean, like, yes, that's technically what's going on here, but wow, that is not a great name. And then, it, you know, somewhere on there, it probably says, like, we have to call it this because it's similar to, but legally distinct from. Ha ha ha. And also, like, it's got, like, tons of parts that are super chromed up and probably a button on the back that makes an LED on the chest light up for no reason.
Yes.
I have a love of knockoff Transformers.
Oh,
toys.
God, just, so do I. My old roommate used to just buy them at random, and I still have fond memories of Huge Extremely.
That's a very good name. Was it a knockoff Ultra Magnus toy from Transformers? Because, like,
it might
that
have
would
been.
Be, that would be a fair translation of the name.
It might have been, but it was... Huge Extremely was very special to us.
I can understand why, because, like, that is, like, I know it sounds like I'm just mocking the you know, it's going to sound like I'm just mocking, like, the fact that, like, okay, well, they're using English words, and they, you know, they don't quite have the same understanding of it as I do, which, in fairness, wherever it was they made that toy, I doubt I could speak their language any better. But, like, no, I really like Huge Extremely, because it's like, that's a catchy name, that has a flow to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, there was just something about it, but man, this robot, his legs are so lazy, and I'm furious.
Oh, I didn't even get to the legs. What are the legs?
The legs are just cubes. One leg is cubes 1 through 4. The other leg is cubes 5 through 8. And they're all it's just them stacked up, and that's the legs.
Man, that's gonna be a really big robot.
They didn't even try.
Yeah, no, that sounds like I'm kind of upset at you for telling me about that, because now I'm gonna be looking, and I'm not going to be happy I did.
It's that thing. It's that problem Zuojer has, where every single design needs one more hour of...
Yeah, they really...
Where, like, the top isn't good, but
no,
I could
not
live with it, but those... Just put another hour of work into those legs and come up with something. Anything.
Yeah, I think that is always my problem with the show is, again, like, when it's on, again, credit where it's due, it is on so hard. But the rest of the time, it is so close to being on. And like you said, if they would have done one more hour, it'd be fine, but they don't do that hour.
Yeah.
It needs that hour.
It's not. They just stacked the cubes, and that's the legs.
Yep.
I don't even know if it has feet.
Well, I'm betting they you know, they do the same thing they did with the one with the truck, and they just use the other cube animals and just sort of attach them on to suggest feet.
I don't know. I don't think they do. I think it's just, you know, cube 1 and cube 5 down on the bottom, and that's what it walks on.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
I'm so upset about this robot's legs.
Yeah, I don't blame you, because all I want is for this robot to look good. I don't know why they won't let that happen.
I mean, like, look, I know robot legs are hard, because, I mean,
no,
it's...
No, they really are, but...
Because it's just, you need it to be a long thing, and then a thing sticks out on the bottom. And I know that it's difficult to make that look cool.
Yeah, especially since, like, you also need to give it a sense of flow, so that, like, it fits with the rest of the spot.
But just,
and create obvious joint placement positions.
Just use cube rhinos. Like, cube rhino is the legs for...
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember what it's called. But just use those legs again.
Wild Tosai King?
Yeah. Like, look, it's in Ultimate Daiboken, which I only know this because it's sitting right behind me. Like, in Daiboken, the dump truck's legs are, like, the bucket of the dump truck. It separates out, they flip down and it separates into the legs. That never stops being a thing on Daiboken.
Yeah, because it's a good setup.
Like, just, if you have legs already, keep using those legs.
Yeah.
Don't just stack 5 things on top of each other.
Yeah, there's too much stacking in this show.
And Go-Onger was a mess of a stacked robot. But, like, even that, they used actual legs. Like, look, G12 is a mess, but my god, like, try.
Just do one thing, you guys. One thing.
Try at all. Even just, yeah, just use two of the, make two of the animals that are legs in other robots and just stack them on top of each other, if that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Like, even that, and that's still stacking, but even that would be better than
just
four cubes on top of each other.
Yeah, and, all I can think is, you know, at least within Tokuger, they're trains, so they at least get a little more leeway from me.
Yeah, it's...
But even then, they found interesting ways to do it.
Look, those are already kind of limb-shaped.
Yeah, that's true.
I did like in this episode when they went to Wild Tosai King, or whatever it was
That was weird.
With all of them.
They just zoom by, and everything starts glowing with all the things, the toys stacked, the cubes stacked.
But it reminded me of Voyager Daiboken, which is my favorite thing in the world because it's so dumb.
Oh, what? What's dumb about a battleship with a giant steamboat wheel on the back?
It's not even just Die Voyager itself. There's Die Voyager and then there's Voyager Daiboken, which is an entirely separate dumb thing where they take the vehicle mode for Die Voyager and just put Daiboken on top of it and just have him stand on it as it drives.
Giant surfing robot.
Okay. It's the most beautiful, majestic, stupid thing I've ever seen in my life.
If nothing else, it's great for me because that is one of those moments where you just look at it and you're like, oh right, Sentai is weird.
Yeah, no, it's bonkers. It's ridiculous. And I die every time it happens because it's my favorite thing. And in the back end, in the home stretch, they use it a good handful of times, more than I remember them using it.
Nice.
And it's just, more amazing every single time.
Yeah, it's just a great toy.
Like, man, imagine...
Toy. It's a great visual.
Yeah, I'm actually not 100% sure if you can do that with Die Voyager and Daiboken. I have them all in, robot mode, and I'm too lazy to change them back and take all the extra parts off of Ultimate Daiboken to bring him down to regular Daiboken.
Looking at Google Image Search, you can make it happen.
Oh, sweet. I'm so glad that's a thing that can happen, because he's beautiful. But, man, imagine whatever I don't know the names of the robots in this show, because I don't care about them enough, but their base, three-cube robot, just riding on the back of Cube Rhino.
Yeah, look, I like that a whole lot.
Why haven't they given me this?
Yeah, that seems like a thing they should have done, because...
That sounds amazing!
Yeah, it really does, and it also plays with, hey, they're all animals, and then there's a lot of stuff going on there. And you could make that work. I'm mad they don't.
Disappointment.
Yeah, which I guess is the really up and up happy note we're gonna leave on for this episode.
I guess so. I mean, look, next week will probably be better.
Yes, it should be. And we're hoping that by next week we'll have some questions. Do remember that you can send us some of your thoughts to us here at LaserKnees at the email address uncommonastrx@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter. I'm at NeedsMoreAlif.
And I'm at Mama Fry's Meal. You can also send them to me at the same username on Tumblr, if that's more your speed.
We'd love to have thoughts at you that were a little more nuanced than, man, that is an ugly robot. But look, y'all, and you're probably going to hear more about this next week, that is an ugly robot, y'all.
Yeah, it is.
On that note, that depressing robot-shaming note, for LaserKnees and the Toll Network, I'm Aleph.
And I'm Sono.
And we will see you next time.